Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody, coast to coast. This Week in America. Heart-pounding, powerful, riveting, remarkable, groundbreaking, and essential reading for all in the Me Too era. High praise for the young adult novel Grown from award-winning author Tiffany D. Jackson. Inspired by the R. Kelly case, Grown shines a light on predatory behavior and the biases faced by young black women, often victimized and sadly not believed. Tiffany is a critically acclaimed author of Allegedly, Monday's Not Coming, and Let Me Hear a Rhyme, a Walter Dean Myers Honor book, and Coretta Scott King, John Steptoe New Book Talent Award winner, a Bachelor of Arts in Film from Howard University, Masters of Art in Media Studies from the New School, over a decade in TV film experience working for various networks and media companies, managing live events, concerts, and festival showcases. Credited with writing some of the best thrillers for teens, Tiffany D. Jackson has done it again with Grown, a rip-from-the-headlines mystery that exposes horrific secrets hiding behind the limelight and the power of a young woman's voice. And Tiffany is our guest on This Week in America. Tiffany, it's a pleasure to have you here. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. What an introduction.
Well, what a book that you've written. And this is so powerful, not just for young adults, but for parents, for everybody. And I mentioned inspired by the R. Kelly case, but it's really not about R. Kelly, is it? It's about abuse of power.
Absolutely. It's really about the reaction that had to do around the R. Kelly documentary, particularly in the idea of girls being quote unquote grown. And just wanted to really like sort of highlight how girls can truly be manipulated, groomed, and lured into abusive relationships by giving context.
And we see this firsthand with the character that you've created, Enchanted Jones, making decisions that almost seem plausible in her world. She's 17 years old. She thinks she's found her ticket to stardom. Tell us about Enchanted and the relationship she has with Corey Fields, a very popular singer.
Well, so Enchanted's an aspiring singer. She's 17 years old, and she is meets this older R&B superstar who sort of promises fame and, you know, to teach her his ways and leading her to turn against kind of her family and friends. And unfortunately, his body shows up and all fingers sort of point to her. But now she must find her voice and prove her innocence while bringing her abuse to light as well in the midst of it.
She's 17 years old. He, I think, is 28 years old. And as this relationship develops, she's really dazzled by the lifestyle. But she starts seeing a dark side. Talk about that, because she goes through this period of trying to justify, you know, this. I'm seeing my career in front of me. I just need to put up with this. It's not going to last. Talk about what she goes through in trying to balance all of this.
Well, she starts going through, like I was sort of mentioning, some abuse under his hand.
Yes.
And, you know, she really rationalized it to herself, like, oh, you know, this is what relationships are like. You know, I just have to hold on for a little while longer. I just need to get my EP done, her record done. And she's really trying to hold on, mostly because she's really truly chasing this dream. And it's a dual dream. It's a dual dream of love and also for stardom.
You know, it's interesting because he controls every move, and if she doesn't follow, there's rage, there are even consequences, serious consequences. And you talk about the grooming culture in your book, something that gets a little bit of attention, but I don't think nearly enough. Talk about the grooming culture, because this just doesn't happen, does it? It's a process that evolves.
Absolutely. One of the things that I realized during my research while writing this book is that, you know, even though this kind of highlights, you know, some of the surrounding reactions to the R. Kelly documentary, I found that predators like him are, you know, one-trick ponies. You know, they all seem to have the same sort of manipulated language, communication that they apply to their victims. And it goes across the board. It goes to Hollywood. It goes to teachers. It goes to coaches. It goes through everyone. They all seem to have the same sort of, it's almost like they're all like operating out of the same rule book. And that's something that we don't really talk about in our society, because at first, you know, we sort of think like, you know, girls put themselves in those situations. And so we're sort of mostly putting the blame on them rather than actually putting the blame on the real perpetrator, who is the adult in the room, who should know better.
Well, it's interesting. On Twitter, you're getting a lot of responses. Several words that keep popping up is, we believe you, as young women come forward and tell their stories. And the other is, he knew better. And that was sort of, I think, a focus that you have in the book. Talk about that, because we put all of the emphasis on the young woman, not the person that's older, manipulating the relationship, who should know better.
Well, it really is answering a lot of the reaction of like, oh, you know, girls know what they're doing. It doesn't matter if a girl thinks she knows what she's doing. There's an adult in the room who knows better, and he knows better. And those adults should be held accountable rather than blaming children who do not have the full understanding of the scope of their actions, which is one of the reasons why I, you know, had to start this small campaign of He Knew Better to really sort of pivot the attention onto who's really at fault rather than blaming everyone else around the victim or the victim themselves.
With us on the program is Tiffany Jackson, author of the new book, Grown. It's available wherever books are sold. Information you can link on to purchase the book by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Some of that thought process you developed as you were, 15 years old, the first boyfriend you have is 22. Talk about that relationship and coming to the conclusion that you broke it off, but you were thinking, I really shouldn't have been the first one to do this. He should have known better. He was the adult.
My first boyfriend was 22 when I was 15. And I met him outside of a school function that he was hanging out in front of. And, you know, there were like red flags from the very beginning. But in my mind, I thought I was just, he made me feel really special, made me feel like I was an adult. And I sort of felt like I needed that at the time. And it's the biggest secret I ever kept from my family. But when we did break it off, you know, the whole time I kept thinking to myself, like, this doesn't feel right, especially like keeping secrets and not telling my friends or my family. And, you know, it's just like us two being in this like secret, like little world together. But for me, I do think that it was something to that point where, you know, I shouldn't have come to this conclusion on my own. And honestly, I didn't realize that something was wrong with our relationship until much later, until I was actually an adult and sort of talking about it with a coworker who very much pointed out like, ew, like he was, you know, a predator.
Yes.
Like, how were you 15 and he was 22? And it didn't really occur to me till that moment. And that's when I started to truly unpack the entire situation and, you know, realize my mistakes. Which, you know, there are a lot of children, a lot of girls who may be in my same predicament. And I always say, you know, I stand by the fact that, like, I had no true idea of what I was doing. But also, I, you know, kind of come out to say, like, hey, I've been through this as well, too. You can get through it as well. We are not our mistakes. We can still have a thriving, loving relationship in the future, a great career, and, you know, be a published author as well, too.
Yes. Talk about the predatory tactics that are used. I can recall over the years as these accusations would come out against R. Kelly, you would see some of the young women that supposedly were under his influences. You would see them out of the hotel room. You would see them with the telephone. And a lot of people would say, well, they could escape anytime they wanted to. They got a telephone. They can call somebody. Talk about the predatory tactics, the manipulation that goes into this, because it's not that easy, is it?
It's not. It's a lot of, you know, particularly for the, you know, predator involved, it's a lot of mind games. It's a lot of, you know, putting in the work to make them feel like, you know, that they absolutely need you, that there's no one else that's going to love you, that there's no one else that's going to be there for you, and that your family that you've known all these years, they actually, you know, will turn their back to you. And so it's really just like dropping bits and bits of information, you know, left and right throughout your relationship in order for it to start, for making you start question things that are actually happening. And even though you may have this tug, this intuition that, you know, hey, that doesn't really sound right. You have an adult in front of you who is telling you, an adult who's supposedly more experienced than you, telling you how things are. And that alone, like, that's basically the answer to all of this, is that we as children were told to listen to adults who know better. And thus, we're listening to them, and that adult actually has ill intentions.
What you bring out so well in your book, Grown, Tiffany D. Jackson, the author and our guest on the program, When you do come out, when the victim comes out, sometimes they find it difficult to get people to believe the allegations, and particularly Black women even less likely to be believed. Why is that, with Black women less likely to be taken seriously by people in authority who could do something?
Well, oftentimes, and particularly for Black girls, there's this idea that, you know, Black girls are more adult-like than their counterparts. So they oftentimes are seen as should have known what they were doing and probably knew. And so they, of course, did it on their own as well. And there's, you know, unfortunately, there's a huge double standards when it comes to Black girls. Like when Black girls, you know, are doing, you know, dances on Instagram or TikTok, you know, they're being a little too grown, they're being too sexy, versus when other girls do that same exact dance, they're only called cute. And so there's something very much a double standard in our societal norms that sort of put this emphasis on Black girls, and thus it sort of penetrates into the justice system, into the way justice is actually achieved for black women in general. So that really, in a sense, like, it's sort of the societal norms that's put this target on Black women that makes them completely different and treated different than, you know, let's say white women.
Yes, sort of like as soon as there's an accusation made, the first thing that we think, authorities think, is victim blaming. That's where they look first. Oh, it can't be the person in power. She must have thrown herself. It must have been the clothes she wears, this type of thing.
Oh, yeah. There's always, you know, it's like a litany of questions. Like,
yes.
What was she doing there? Why couldn't she just walk away? What was she wearing? You know, where were her parents? You know, well, that's what she gets for acting grown. And there's never some tenderness to the idea that, you know, potentially that kids, specifically kids, can make mistakes and or not fully aware of what they're doing. And that's really where I'm trying to focus in this novel, is to focus on the idea that, you know, we should stop placing this antiquated logic that, you know, Black girls know what they're doing, or that, you know, they're acting grown. And we need to start actually comforting and telling them exactly how situations could occur and how they can protect themselves.
I got about a minute left here, but are we getting closer? We're doing a lot of talking. The Me Too era is now out there. I look back at R. Kelly. He was accused by his tour manager in 1994 of inappropriate behavior. They went to the record company. Nothing was done. The allegations go back 15, 20 years on him. Is that a thing of the past now? Are we really beginning to pay attention, or do we still have a lot of work to do?
I think it's a bit of a both, actually. I think, you know, thanks to many brave women, along with the Me Too movement and, you know, the Mute R. Kelly movement as well, too, I think a lot of people are coming forward and, you know, everyone is actually really trying to listen. They're putting processes in place to actually protect girls and protect women in different circumstances from harassment. And I think that in itself is a step in the right direction, and it's what we really need. And we want to show girls that we are, you know, listening, and we are believing you, and things are going to get better.
It's an important book, Grown, the new novel, shining a light on predatory behavior, the biases faced by young Black women, by award-winning author Tiffany D. Jackson. The book's available wherever books are sold. Tiffany, a pleasure having you on the program. Congratulations on another successful book, reaching out and helping so many people. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to This Week in America. Information online, thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.